to order. Everyone please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag and remain standing for a moment of silence. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Announcements. Fire evacuation plan. Please note that in the event of an emergency, the fire department has requested that legislators and all others move at least one block away from the county office building in order not to impede the firefighters in their duties. Cell phones. Please silence cell phones and refrain from texting for the duration of the informational meeting. Microphones. Please be reminded to use your microphones when speaking so that you are recorded for the official record.
We do not take attendance, so there'll be no roll call this evening. We don't take attendance at special informational meetings. So at this time, I would like to turn the meeting over to O'Connor and Davies, LLP, who will present their analysis of the 2018 Ulster County budget.
Thank you very much, Chairman Ronk. I'd like to thank yourself and Chairman Gerentine for the opportunity to present our report to you tonight.
Could you move the microphone a little closer or try a different one? We'll have to.
Is that any better? Okay. Again, I'd like to thank you and Chairman Gerentine for the opportunity to present our report to the legislature tonight. Before we leave, I'd also like to thank Amber from your office, the county executive, his staff, especially Bert, who for 2 weeks had to put up with us asking questions and requesting information. Without their assistance, we wouldn't be able to provide the documentation that we gave you tonight. So hopefully our review is meant to assist this legislature during your deliberation of the county executive's proposed budget. We hope that some of the items that we discussed tonight add some insight to the revenues and the appropriations that are included in the budget and prompt some thought while you're interviewing your departments during the final deliberations. So before you tonight is the executive proposed budget, which includes $324 million worth of appropriations. That's a decrease of about $900,000 from the previous budget, are about 0.25% down, 0.28%. The budget, as proposed, includes a tax levy of $76,700,000. Again, a decrease of about $192,000, or 0.25% from the prior year. It also includes the appropriation of fund balance. This year, 16.34, which is less than what was used. It includes 12.75, which is less than the 16.34 that was used last year. I think when you're reviewing the budget, you must keep in mind that the county has always taken a very conservative approach to its revenues. You don't get very aggressive when you propose your revenues, and you also are very conservative when you put your appropriations together. So historically, as you appropriate your fund balance, you've been very fortunate to replace that fund balance at the end of the year so you can use it in future years. So you appropriate fund balance, but then you're able to replenish it and use it in future tax years. Some new initiatives that were included in the county executive's proposed budget are you included about $1.6 million for capital project for the Restorative Justice and Community Empowerment Program. You also included $15 million for the Infrastructure Investment Program to fix your roads and bridges and maintain your infrastructure. Also, you included some freshwater resource program to protect it. You included money in the health department to provide for well water testing for low and moderate income families. And for the second time, you didn't have it last year, but you had 2 years ago, you have some revenue in there from the casino that's proposed to be open in March of 2018, and we'll talk about that on its own slide. So the first revenue we talk about is your sales tax. Sales tax revenue this year was a very good year. You had an adopted budget of $95 million. We're projecting approximately $98.44 million, so about $3.5 million more than the adopted budget. Your first half of the year was very good. You were up substantially over the prior year. In order to remain conservative in our projection, what we did was we took your year-to-date numbers and then we looked at what you received in 16, left that revenue flat so that we weren't too aggressive, And that's where we came up with our number, which is about $3.25 million more than the adopted budget. When we move forward to 18, you can see the executive budget did recognize the increase in sales tax revenue. They did push it up about 5%. We're projecting slightly more at 101.42. And how we did that was we took our projection and then we utilized 3% growth, which is what you're currently realizing in 2017. So we're about $620,000 favorable finding as compared to the executive budget. On the next page, we put a chart in here just to show you your sales tax revenue as it compares to budget. The red line is your budget. The blue line is the actual. So you can see that, again, by remaining conservative, you have exceeded your estimated budget, which, again, is what helps you reimburse that, replenish that fund balance that you utilize. Interest and penalties on property taxes, you budget about 4.8. It does look like you're going to come up about $400,000 short at $4.4 million. And that's based on a couple of factors. Is one is that people are, as the economy improved, people are paying their property taxes in a more timely fashion, and you're not realizing the interest and penalties. The second is that you've been very active in your property tax sales, and you'll see that on another slide. You had some tax auctions where you generated some funding. 2018 budget included 4.65. We're projecting only about 4.4 again. Because your taxes receivable is relatively flat from year to year. So here we see an unfavorable variance of about $250,000. Hotel motel tax, again, you budgeted 1.35. We're projecting about $150,000 higher at $1.5 million. Most of that is due to the fact that your economy has been very strong, tourism is kind of booming up here. And you did open up a new Holiday Inn Express, which did generate a few $1,000 more than you anticipated. Unfortunately, you were also hoping that that Bel Air Resort would come online. Last year when we were in here, they were hoping that that would be online. That's, from what we read, nowhere in the horizon and not included. 2018 executive budget includes $1.58 million, so they recognize the increase in the hotel motel tax. We're projecting 1.6, about $20,000 more than the executive budget. As I mentioned, you also have sold some tax properties at auction. You sold about 107 parcels this year. You voted on that back in April. You adopted a budget including $800,000, and we're projecting $950,000 because your sales are all done, so about $150,000 more. So what this revenue is that you had outstanding taxes on those properties. The gain is what you sold in excess of the tax receivable. 2018 budget includes $800,000. We agree with that because you don't really know what properties are going to be for sale until just prior to the auction. Deferred taxes, when you put your budget together, you include $1 million for your what's called tax overlay. You realize you're not going to collect all your property taxes during the course of the year, so you include $1 million to cover those taxes that you don't collect currently. What we're projecting is that you're only going to utilize about $300,000 of that due to your collections, which is $700,000 less, so that's a favorable finding because this was an offset. The executive budget again includes $1 million, and that's very prudent to include that because you usually do collect about 98-99% of your tax levy, so this will give you that cash flow that you need to operate. The next revenue we looked at were your county clerk fees. First, we looked at the recording division. This is where you have your mortgage recording, processing, deeds, your business certificates, and the other fees that you collect. And the adopted budget was about $1,550,000. It appears you're going to exceed that by about $230,000. You did process about 2,700 more documents this year than you had in the previous year. You're up to about $90,000 for the through September. 2018 executive budget, again, did recognize that you were collecting more, and they increased it to $1.75 million. And again, we're leaving our projection flat at $1.78, about $30,000 greater than what's in the proposed budget. On the motor vehicle side, through your registrations, you had a budget of about $850. It appears that you might collect $950, about $100,000 more than the adopted budget. Again, the executive budget did push it up to $950,000, which we agree with. This is cyclical. There is like a two-year cycle between registrations. On the auto use tax, the adopted budget was $1.23 million. It appears that you're only going to collect about $1.19 million, so about $40,000 less. The executive budget stayed flat at 1.23. We're projecting 1.25, or about $20,000 more. And again, like I said, it's about a two-year cycle. You see more vehicles registered in one year than the other. The next revenue we looked at was the board-ins for the jail. Again, in the past, you used to receive a lot of prisoners from Dutchess County. We discussed this 2 years ago, where they added some pods and your population dropped because they didn't have a need to ship their prisoners to you to house. So your 2017 adopted budget was reduced down to $195,000. We're projecting that you will exceed that at about $315,000, about $120,000 more. You're currently averaging about 9 prisoners from Dutchess per day, plus 2 or 3 federal inmates per day. So that'll generate that $315,000. When we look at the 18 budget, they left it flat at $195,000. We're reducing our projection down to $260,000 because we have seen the number of prisoners from Dutchess declining. The budget includes about 6. We think it should be, based on your trend, maybe 7 or 8. So we're about $65,000 greater than the executive's proposed budget. Last year in the Public Works Department, the budget was approximately $1 million for the sale of real property. That was for a property that you held at 300 Flatbush Avenue. Unfortunately, that sale did not occur. So you're going to have about a $1 million shortfall in that budget. The executive budget does not include any revenue from the sale of this building. So if the sale were to occur, you would have a surplus on that line next year. The next revenue we looked at was the new casino gaming fee. If you remember, 2 years ago, you received some money from the permits for the application. So there was no money in 17 because the casino wasn't open. In 18, they were expecting the casino to open March 1st. So you've included $1.5 million in the budget for that item. The state had given you an estimate of about $3 million. What the administration did was they said it's only going to be open for 10 months if it does open on time. So they took 10/12 of the $3 million. But then they also noticed that the other casinos around the state had not been performing up to the level that was expected. So they did lower that expectation by 60%. So you ended up including about $1.5 million in the budget for this item. Again, hopefully the casinos perform better than they have been and you receive more money. But this is the exact same formula that we saw used in other counties that received it. So we agree with the $1.5 million that's in the budget. At that point, we're done the revenues we looked at. I don't know if you want to ask any questions on these revenues.
Just one question on the casino gaming revenue. Was the state's $3 million based upon a full year of operation or the partial year of operation that Resorts World expected?
My understanding was it was based on a full year expectation, and you prorated it over the 12 months, for the 10 months that it was going to be open. But I think you saw in Broome and Tompkins, they weren't receiving what they expected.
Quick question. You did mention the Holiday Inn Express. There's also a Residence Inn that went online prior, but there are about 35 empty stores in the Hudson Valley Mall. There is a redevelopment plan, but I just want to make sure that that is included in your projection.
If it was online in 2017, it's included in our projection. We get our information from the finance department. We see the invoices they send out for the hotel motel tax. You do that yourselves. So if it was online in 17, we included it for 18. If it's new, then I would say no, because we were told that they didn't know of any new projects that were definitively coming online in 18.
Thank you.
All right. I'll turn it over to Jeff now. He'll take you through the expenditure categories.
Thanks, Chris. This one works, so. We're going to touch on some of the larger expenditures contained in the 2018 budget. I'll start off with personnel costs. In the 2017 budget contained $78.2 million in personnel costs. That's roughly 24% of the total appropriation side of the budget, so certainly a significant cost to the county. We're projecting those costs to come in at around $74.2 million for the 2017 year. That's a positive surplus of about $4 million. That's also similar to the surplus that was achieved during the 2016 budget year. Keep in mind, when the county budgets for salaries, it doesn't utilize a vacancy factor. So when it budgets for a position at, say, $50,000, $50,000 is contained in the budget. It doesn't assume that that position is going to be vacant for any period of time. So when I say you don't take a vacancy factor, you don't take a reduction in the salaries. Hence, the county has historically achieved budgetary savings because of that. And that number we're projecting to be about $4 million for 2017. And again, in 2018, there was no vacancy savings taken in the budget. And as a matter of policy, the county hasn't done that. This is a historical headcount of the county personnel. You'll see the drop in 2014 due to the closure of the nursing home. The headcount has been roughly steady since then. And the 2018 budget contains 1,304 budgeted positions. The next slide is just informational, but it is something that to consider. At the time of our review, I believe this was done at September 30th, the amount of vacant positions in the budget was about $1.9 million. I said before our variance that we're expecting is about $4 million. Keep in mind that this is just a point in time. It can fluctuate in any given week, so it could go up, it could go down. Also, you could achieve vacancy additional savings when someone retires at a higher rate and someone new is hired at a new rate. It could also give you savings. So this $2 million just bears in relation to the $4 million projection I mentioned before. Overtime costs, not included in the numbers I just mentioned. The budget for 2017 was $2.65 million. We're projecting costs to be $3.3 million, or $650,000 greater than the budget. And that for 2018, the budget is $2.95 million. We're projecting $3.4 million, which assumes the vacancies remain relatively stable and the overtime needs within the county remain relatively stable. And that's $450,000 greater than the 2018 budget. We don't include that as a variance on our summary of findings because our assumption is that if you have vacancy savings on personnel lines, the overtime is related to that, so we don't include it. So in essence, we're netting the two together. The next slide, an important one, the labor contracts. There's one that is current through 2018. The remainder of them will all be expired. Your payroll is roughly $80 million. So if you gave everyone a 1% raise, that would be an additional cost of about $820,000. Those costs are not budgeted for. So any labor settlements that happen during the year would have to utilize fund balance. And that's the past practice of the county. Moving on to jail.
Couldn't you use the vacancy factor on that? In other words, money from the vacancy factor could be used towards settlements.
Yes.
Hey, then folks, if we could just wait till the end and just write down your questions, and then we'll get them all at the end.
Moving on to the jail, the food costs are budgeted in 17 at $700,000. Our projection is $730,000 for the year. The 2018 budget contains $730,000, and our projection is $750,000. That's $20,000 more than the 2018 executive budget. The jail medical services, the 2017 adopted budget contained $2.8 million. We're projecting the cost to be $2.79 million, or $20,000 less than the adopted budget. The 2018 budget contains $2.95 million, and we agree with that projection. And that budget assumes that catastrophic costs will be incurred by the county, which in some years may not happen. So you could achieve savings there, but it's certainly a conservative and prudent thing to include those costs in the budget.
In addition, both of those contracts for the food and for the medical services are scheduled to expire during 2017, but we believe they have a one-year extension in there at the current rates. So you could possibly extend those contracts, at the current value if you so desired.
This is a summary of the employee benefits category contained in the budget. In 2017, the budget was $52.1 million. In 2018, the budget is $52 million. That's a That's a $100,000 decrease year over year. Medical benefits is probably the story behind that. The budget went from 28.5 up to 28.8, or only 1%. And I'll talk about that on a following slide. The retirement costs, our end in 2017 budget adopted, $12.9 million. We're projecting costs to be $12.54 million, or $360,000 less than the adopted budget. The 2018 budget contains $12.5 million. We agree with that projection. The decrease is due to a decrease in the rates as published by the New York State Retirement System. And keep in mind, those rates, which are hooked to the market performance, stock market performance, and also actuarial assumptions. So as the market seems to be doing well right now, sitting here today, we don't expect huge increases in the retirement rates in the next coming years. Hopefully things continue on that way. Employee benefits, medical benefits. The total costs in the 2017 budget are $28.43 million. We're projecting cost to be $25.95 million. That's $2.48 million less than the adopted budget. Keep in mind, the county is self-insured for health insurance, so costs can fluctuate in a situation like that. It's not premium-based where you just pay a bill every month. When people go to the doctor, the county has to pay those actual claims out, subject to a stop-loss policy if you were to go over that amount. But in a situation like this, costs can sometimes jump up, and they can also jump down. So this was happens to be a good year. Keep in mind, it could go the other way. Contained in the 2018 budget is $28.77 million to cover medical costs. That's an 11% increase in the claims costs as compared to the 2017 projections. So that's a significant increase in claims cost, but it's not out of line with what we're seeing in premium-based plans. We've seen in other counties and other municipalities throughout the state that use a NYSHIP plan, their estimated rate increase is about 9% for 2018. So your 11% is kind of in the same ballpark as that. And keep in mind, budget over budget, you're not feeling that 11%. As I mentioned on two slides before, you budgeted $28.5 million in 2017. The budget went up to 28.8, so only $300,000 increase. Because you achieved those savings in 17, the cost didn't have to go up that 11%. So budget over budget, it's only a 1% increase. Social Security benefits, that's also known as the FICA benefits, that's 7.65% of the salaries. The adopted budget for 17 is $6.3 million. We're projecting cost to be about $5.9 million, or $400,000 less than the adopted budget. The 18 executive budget contains $6.36 million. We're projecting cost to be $6.2 million or $160,000 less than the executive budget. As soon as you get over the wage limit, which is currently about $128,000 or so, those wages in excess of that are not subject to FICA. And also health insurance deductions from employee payrolls not subject. Department of Social Services, certainly one of the largest operating departments of the county. This chart shows the aggregate cost to this department. The 2017 adopted budget is $119.6 million, and that was decreased slightly to $116.8 million. And the county taxation remained roughly stable, $59 million in 2017 to $58.9 million in the executive 2018 budget. I'll go through some of those, some of the details behind those programs in the next couple slides. The daycare budget for social services is about $4 million. We're projecting costs to be $3.4 million. Or $600,000 less than the budget. The executive budget for 2018 did realize a drop. There's an estimated cost of $3.6 million, and we agree with that projection. The MMIS, or Medicaid line, the 2017 adopted budget is $35.31 million. Our projection is $34.94 million, or $370,000 less than the adopted budget. The 2018 executive budget is $35.66 million, and we agree with that projection. There could be a savings on that line because, if you know how the MMIS line works, there's a weekly share payment that comes directly out of your account. There happens to be 53 weeks in the 2018 fiscal year, and depending on the way the state divides that out, there could be savings there. We've been conservative and haven't adjusted for that.
And also the federal Medicaid sharing hasn't come out yet. When we checked with both Orange County and your office here, neither one has got an updated weekly shares amount that indicates the FMAP savings, but while we were here, so hopefully that savings stays strong, and that's how you realized the $370,000 last year was you got a little more enhanced reimbursement from the federal government.
Family assistance program. The 2017 adopted budget contained $12.64 million. We're projecting cost to be $9.25 million. That's $3.39 million less than the adopted budget. Keep in mind, this is a heavily subsidized program by the state and federal governments, so you'll achieve about $1.4 million less in aid when those cost savings occur. The net amount is a $1.99 million local share tax dollar savings on that program. The cases for family assistance and the costs have been decreasing, which is obviously a positive thing. Some of those savings were taken in the 2018 budget. The executive budget for 18 is $10.65 million. We're projecting cost to be about $9.62 million, which is just a slight growth factor over our projections for 2017. That's a difference of $1.03 million, and of course there's a revenue side to that, so you get $670,000 less in aid, for resulting in a potential $360,000 local share savings on this program. The next program is the safety net program. It's also the costs have been declining as the caseloads have been declining. The adopted budget for 17 is $10.2 million. We're projecting cost to be $6.98 million, or $3.2 million less than the adopted budget. You won't realize $1 million in aid because of those cost savings, resulting in a $2.2 million local share savings. Those costs have also decreased in the 2018 budget down to $7.75 million. We project those costs to be about $7.28 million, or $470,000 less than the budget. After factoring $140,000 decrease in aid, that's a potential $330,000 local share savings on the safety net program. The child care division consists of several different programs: the early intervention program, pre-K program, and foster care. We've seen in the numbers that this county and the other counties we work with that these costs have been increasing rather than decreasing, like safety net and family assistance. And we're also seeing, Chris and I and our group works with school districts, we're seeing those costs increase as the kids age out of pre-K and go into CSE and CPSE. At the school district level, those costs are increasing as well, because as soon as they age out of that pre-K program, they become the responsibility of the school district, so we're seeing that as well. The adopted budget for 17 is $25 million. We're projecting costs to be greater than the budget, $1.26 million more than the budget. You'll receive $676,000, less than aid because of that, and that's a $1.94 million local cost share, additional local cost share because of those appropriations in excess of the budget. The 2018 budget contains $26.6 million. We're projecting costs to be $27.3 million, or $730,000 more than the 18 budget. You'll receive $440,000 more in aid because of those excess costs, for a $290,000 local cost, additional local cost to this program. As I mentioned before, there has been a decrease in the number of cases, especially on the family assistance and safety net. This chart shows the total program expenditures, all the Department of Social Services. So you can see over the past 4 years there has been a decline here. In 2015, the costs were $126 million. The 2018 budget contains $116.8 million, so certainly costs going down in this area. Debt service, principal and interest on your bonds are budgeted at $9.85 million in 17. The costs are going to come, we think, come in higher in 2017 at $10.4 million. That's because when you're adopting your budget for 17, you didn't know that the amount of the bond you were going to issue, which happens right at the end of the year. So those costs can always come in greater or less than was anticipated in the budget. The 2018 executive budget contains $10.10 million. Keep in mind, there's a bond issuance coming out. We don't have the details behind that, so we can't project exactly what that's going to be. But you do have some money set aside in the budget to cover that. But we couldn't specifically project what those savings or additional costs might be. The electricity and gas within the buildings and grounds, the budget's $1.42 million. We're projecting a savings of $110,000 for 2017. In 2018, we're projecting costs to go up slightly, and that's we think it's going to be $40,000 greater than the 2018 budget. Heating fuel, similar situation. The budget's $380,000. We're projecting costs to be $190,000 less than that. And 2018 budget is $300,000, and we're projecting costs to be $80,000 less than that, or about $220,000. Salt and chloride, we have had some light winters. It looks like you're going to spend more than the adopted budget, but we were told the county was able to stockpile some additional salt. The 2018 budget contains $1 million, and which appears to be in line with the average salt purchases for the last few years. So we don't have any variances on that line item. Community college tuition is the cost for Ulster County residents to attend community colleges in other areas. And I have some charts here. I'll show you exactly where those students are going. We're projecting an unfavorable variance of $200,000 in the 17 budget. And in the 2018 budget contains $3.7 million. We're projecting the cost to be slightly higher than that at $3.9 or $200,000 greater than what's in the budget. The next two pages are two different charts. This is the dollar amounts paid to the various counties where your students are going. Dutchess County is the largest at 35%. Orange County is 23%. Fashion Institute of Technology is 10% of your costs going to that college. Because the costs for the Fashion Institute of Technology are so much higher than the other community college costs, it eats up a larger portion as a total cost as compared to the FTEs, which I'll show you on the next slide. The Fashion Institute of Technology only has 3% of your students going there, but it's taking up 10% of your cost, just showing that the costs are there greater than the other community colleges. And Dutchess County is taking 44% of your students, and Orange County 22% of your students. Finally, the contingency budget. The 2017 budget had $800,000, and that remains unspent, so that's going to be a surplus for 2017. 2018 contained $750,000. We feel that's a prudent number, and it appears to be adequate for the county's needs.
So that's it on the expenditure side. So if anybody has any questions on that.
When you're proposing the different costs that it, FICA and various other costs that associate with that.
No.
So if we settle any of that during the course of the year, that's going to be escalated into those areas, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. And secondly, on the chargebacks with the community college, we were hoping to, September 18th, put a satellite community college down in Milton, New York, which is close to Orange County, Dutchess County. Hopefully that'll be a positive regarding the number of students attending Dutchess and Orange County. Maybe they'll come into the southern part of Ulster County. So hopefully that would be reduced. I know you can't budget for that, but that might be a positive.
Could be. Sure. I think Dutchess had 400 students.
355
students from Ulster. That's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So two things. You mentioned on the jail food contracts. That was before us in Ways and Means today. And the contract is not staying solid. There's going to be food increases across the board.
Okay.
So you should probably be aware of those. And we have those numbers just in terms of assessing. And also the variance exceeds, for this year, exceeds the $30,000 because we moved $35,000 already to make out the rest of the year in that. And that's based on the estimates. So there's that. And then I have a question on your, if you look at the daycare one in the book on page 21,
mm-hmm.
And the same would follow for the other estimates where you have the year, these are year-to-date cases, the 2017 with the asterisks. It's not, you're not projecting out to the end of the year. You're doing it on the year-to-date.
We're not. The administration provided us those numbers and said that's the number of cases through September 30th.
So did you ask for clarification? Is there a way to figure it out or make an estimate on what the year, what the end of the year numbers might be and how they would compare to the previous year's numbers? Because that's the only way that it can make sense to me in terms of making an estimate.
Every year we come in, we request the monthly statistics so we can see the trends. We usually get that from every other county we go to where they'll give me the monthly cases by category, and then we can kind of see a trend. Here we're told that you don't keep monthly cases, that they can only give us these numbers, and every year they give us these numbers. So, I mean, we would love to see those trends because that would help us.
You've been with us for more than 1 year. Could you look back statistically at the numbers that you were given at this same point in time and then run those numbers against the final numbers, which are actuals from previous years? Wouldn't that be a way to estimate whether we're looking on a kind of an annualized basis divided by 12 or if all of a sudden there's a spike?
Right. And that's exactly why we don't like doing that without seeing the monthly statistics, because there are seasonal trends.
I hear you, but again, we have years of you have years of statistics with us, because it just becomes really hard, and I know we've talked about this before, to look at these numbers when we're basing them at a moment in time against. I find it difficult to accept the estimates when the estimates aren't based on a projection.
We base our estimate basically on the, as you said, the dollar amounts through September. So what we do is we have 6 years of trending for through September 30th. And we say, I'll pick family assistance. And if they are typically, by the end of September, 68% expended for their, as the total of the budget, then what we do is we look at that as a trend and say, okay, if you spend 68% historically, where would that put us? Then we compare that to the estimate that was given to us by the finance office, who I assume got it from the Commissioner of Social Services. And if there's any wide variance, we would investigate that variance and try to get some more details. On the cases, our problem is that in this case, we're just giving a number, 700, for example. I don't know what the components of those cases are. Again, when you get to a family assistance program, that's made up of 7, 8, 9 programs. We're told there's 800 cases. So I really can't use the cases, but we were asked to put it in the report because legislators do ask the number of cases. It'd be great if we could get them by category and by month, and we could actually give you a trend. And we'd love to do that because it would also help us understand the trends a little bit, too. So I understand what you want, but I kind of feel your pain in requesting it.
So just to confirm, you get that kind of information from other counties?
Yes. We've provided Chairman Gerentine, I think, 2 years ago with some samples that we got from some other counties where it was very detailed, where it was, here's my budgeted cases, here's my actual cases, here's what I project our cases to be. And then what we do is, with the beauty of Excel, we put that into our model. And, you know, I have 9 years of history for Westchester County, Orange County, Rockland County. And I try to use that information as I'm looking at yours, too, because, you know, you're all very similar. You know, you're in the same Hudson Valley, and as the economy was declining, everybody's cases were rising. So, you know, we were able to use that in our thought process and when we discussed it with the administration. But I would love to put some cases in here and project out for you by various categories, because each one of these major numbers could have four different categories in it.
Right.
Other than daycare, which would be straightforward.
Okay, thank you.
All right. So it looks like, and I apologize if you've already been asked this question. I did step out of the room briefly. But on the personnel expenditure side, it looks like we had approximately $2.58 million in 2015 of a favorable variance, meaning money that was basically still being returned back to the coffers. 2016, it looks like it's somewhere on the order of magnitude of $4.13 million. In 2017, you're predicting it to be somewhere in the order of magnitude of 3.37, it looks like.
Why are
you netting overtime?
You're netting overtime.
You've got to say yes. No. An order of magnitude. It's okay. We can use round numbers. But it seems to be somewhere in between 2.5 to 4 million any given year.
Correct.
Now, this unencumbered money is either A, returned directly back into fund balance and then in essence, recycled into the next year's budget, or it's then transferred by the executive side into other line items depending upon need of the county. Now, I guess, do other counties that you guys work with, number one, do they follow the same policy of not budgeting for salary savings?
Variety of ways. Some counties actually put a line in called salary savings.
Sure.
Some call it a vacancy adjustment, and they'll put in a negative amount in the appropriations. I think Westchester and Rockland list salary savings. I believe Orange lists as a wage adjustment or salary adjustment, and they put in a negative appropriation to offset. We've been always told that every time we come up that your policy is to budget the full amount of the salaries. Some positions are in at zero, by the way. So you do have, I think, a couple of positions where they don't intend to fill this year, but they want to keep the position active, so it's budgeted at zero.
So I guess as the policy-making body, I guess we could change that policy.
Yes.
But the question I guess I have is that based off of, mind you, this is such a minor or rather small trend of only 3 years. If we go further back, I mean, has it traditionally been in the, again, that $2.5 million, has that sort of been the floor, so to speak, you know, year after year that you know that we are, generally speaking, we've got salary savings of that basically since Golden Hill, I assume?
Yeah. I'm speaking off the top of my head, I would say, yes, you're always in the $2.5 to $3.5 million range. Okay. If you want, we could go back and look at our other reports and see where we had the findings.
Please do.
Make a note. But again, that's one of the savings why you can replenish your surplus, because in addition to the salary savings, as we pointed out, you also then have the fringe benefit savings.
Okay.
So when your pension rate was 20%, you save an additional 20.
Sure. No, I mean, and these are all sort of ancillary, you know, sort of benefits to basically to not filling that position at a certain time or, you know, not filling it all that particular year. Although at that point, though, you've budgeted for a service that was either A, not delivered, or it wasn't delivered for the entirety of the year. Now, that's a different
that's a different policy
discussion. So, all right. With regards to sales tax, we don't have the a real trend, or rather, I don't think I've actually got it on here at least. But it seems to be again the order of magnitude of us almost in essence. I don't want to say underestimating sales tax, but outperforming the projection of sales tax.
We put a little chart in here for you for a
on
few
one page.
Years.
Apologies.
Seven? No, in our PowerPoint. I think we did put a little chart in here for some historical.
How far back does it go, though?
Page goes back to 2014.
Right. Oh, there it is. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Now, this is the net. Oh, okay. This is the net sales tax.
This is the county portion that you retain.
So
you're right. You usually do outperform your budget estimates.
I mean, admittedly, this is a much more volatile fund, and so therefore, obviously, I think it's treated differently than necessarily the traditional budgetary savings, which we can with some certainty predict at least a sort of a floor of what budgetary savings we will actually have year after year. But it appears, though, that we are sort of in the almost looks like the realm and thing of this year. You're predicting somewhere in the order of three and a quarter, something like that, 3 million?
Yes.
Okay.
greater than the budget. The only thing we ever caution our clients on, and you need to talk to your finance department, is
sure.
that there are a lot of prior year adjustments that flow through. In April, you usually get some big adjustments for the prior year. So if we see a big uptick in the April payments to you,
mm-hmm.
we try to get an explanation as to whether it's real sales tax growth or was that a prior period. Because what you don't want to do is base your budget on a prior period because they may not occur. But if it's real systematic growth, you'd like to include it. So we do, you know, we just say you look at April, and I believe the next big one is usually October, where you see a big adjustment.
Right,
but you get the details.
No, I do, and I'm going to just hold off my question actually for offline.
We had an adjustment regarding the sales tax. We didn't collect percentage of sales tax that we thought we were going to collect. And that's why you see the difference of what we're actually, the actual and the budgeted at one point there, that 1 year, that 3 month period of time there.
Right.
With regard to salary savings, you know, do your estimates take into account some budgeted positions that are also tied to state and federal aid that are not being filled?
Yes.
Okay.
When we look at it, we look at the net savings.
Okay.
Most of that would occur in your Department of Social Services, where they have the highest reimbursement rates. But yeah, we look at that also.
Thank you. Any other questions? Mr. Allen?
So, I added it up to 812 students that are utilizing outside community colleges that make up what we're paying out in chargebacks. So there's been like a nominal decline in the enrollment at Ulster Community College over recent years annually. And so do you find that there's a correlation between a decline in the number of raw number of students participate in the chargeback program with outside community colleges, you know, relative to...
That's a great question because, again, we just finished reviewing two other budgets, and the same question came up as we were reviewing it. And the amazing thing was in both counties, they were seeing a decline in the enrollment in their own community college, but this didn't change.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of that is because of FIT, because FIT, although you only have 26 students in it, which is not the major portion, the other ones have larger. That school doesn't decline because, you know, it's a very attractive school and a lot of students want to go to it. It's a specialty school, so they may have seen a drop in their own budget of about 2%, mm-hmm. but they didn't see a decline in the out-of-county chargebacks because of the draw for FIT.
It's so much higher tuition that it just keeps the
a four-year
keeps
school
the number high that the amount
right.
is for
and
the
and you're paying
chargeback.
For 4 years versus 2 years, so it adds up.
But the number of total students is...
The number of total students
similar decline.
It's very it's probably in the other schools a similar decline.
Yeah.
Also made up with some increases in tuition. Now when we look at 18, the chargeback rates for the first semester are out already, so we saw that they had increases ranging from 4 to 12%. And I hate to say it, but I think FIT was 23, if I remember off the top of my head. That was a very large increase. So again, the biggest number had a larger increase.
I've always been of the opinion that if they could find a, you know, a large water source out in Stone Ridge that it would to build dormitories, that that would be the one variable that would, you know, lower this perhaps.
It could.
All right.
You also have to look at curriculums and things, what the students are looking for.
I also know that, you know, just regarding the chargeback and the point that Legislator Jarrington brought up earlier about the campus in the Milton-Marlboro area, you know, the college has invested in market research to try and invest there in curriculum that the students in that area are looking for. So to your point about curriculum being an important driving factor on chargebacks, I think that's something that we're trying to look into as a county, as well as the fact that all the counties in New York State should get together and decide that FIT is no longer a community.
All right, so to try to sum up what we've discussed piecemeal, if you look at page 45, we have a summary of our findings from both 17 and 18. on page 45 are all the revenues that we discussed with you. And you can see on the bottom for far right column, we have an unfavorable variance on the revenue side of 4.5 for 2017. The bulk of that being associated with the social service programs because you had substantial savings on the appropriation side. On the favorable side, we found 4.7 million. For 18, you can see it's about 1.2 and 1.1. And if you turn the page, we sum it up for you. On the bottom, column 17, you can see that we found $13.35 million which worth of budgetary savings projected for 2017 and about $885,000 for 2018. We'll talk about 17 first, because if we talk about 17, as I mentioned earlier, you appropriated about $15.34 million worth of surplus. It looks like you're going to return about 13.3. The only thing we want to caution you on is, yes, you did have a good year. You're going to show a budgetary surplus, but you did actually utilize almost $2 million of your fund balance. So you didn't regenerate the whole thing as you normally do. Now, again, these projections are done as of September. You still have a whole quarter of the year. Something could change. Hopefully it does to your benefit, and you don't utilize any of that surplus. But right now, it looks like you will utilize about $2 million. The 2018 budget did reduce the draw on the surplus by about $3 million. So you are planning on using less. But again, your sales tax revenue was projected to be $5 million higher. Your social service programs were shrunk down and reduced. So hopefully, again, the economy stays strong, because both of those two areas are very dependent on the economy. Social service programs, as you saw by that one chart, grew dramatically from 2008 to 2014. You've now seen the decline. So again, hopefully the economy stays strong, and these numbers are, again, conservative, and again, you regenerate your surplus. That's really key to your fiscal stability. On page 47, just for information purposes, we put a little bit of history of your fund balance. We won't go over every category, but if you look at the bottom line, you can see that in 2012, your total fund balance was about 45.6. At the end of 2016, your audit showed about 59.2. Your unassigned fund balance, which is what's available to you to utilize for emergencies to balance your budget, has remained fairly steady around $25 million, $20 million over the past few years. So you've done a good job, as I said, of utilizing fund balance, replenishing fund balance, and you've been able to stay within the tax cap over the past few years. In fact, you've lowered your taxes the last 2 years. So that's basically it. The budget is very sound. Very conservative budget, and it leaves the county in a strong fiscal position.
Any follow-up questions? Any last thought questions? Looks like I understand that one.
No.
Okay. I'll deal with it. All right.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your time.